We're going to talk about summertime blues today. Summertime blues. Yeah, well, as we all know, record-breaking heat this June, right? And for those of you like me, I don't like heat. I mean, it's rough. It makes me irritable. And I don't know. I think my forebears came from Russia. They're used to cooler weather. And I don't particularly, like I said, I don't particularly like it. And it is a struggle. So what we're going to do today is it's going to be a little takeoff on what James did last week in his drash. Because you remember when he said he pointed to you, then you would respond to him in some way. And so what I'm going to do is when I point to you, you're going to do this. But there ain't no cure for the summertime blues, right? So we're all going to say that together. Let's do it. But there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. All right, now, like Ken said last week, that we thank God for the inventor of air conditioning. That's for certain for me. In fact, the concept of conditioning air goes all the way back. It has a really long history. It goes all the way back to ancient Rome, Persia, Egypt, and China. They were trying to cure the summertime blues. That's essentially what they were doing. The inventor of the electric air conditioner is a man by the name of Willis Carrier, which is what Carrier air conditioning units are named after, in which he was trying to figure out a way to provide a more stable printing press up in Buffalo, New York, because the heat would create chaos in the paper, and in the process he discovered air conditioning, and it was really great. So the question I'm sure all of you are asking is, well, what does that have to do with the scriptures? Well, today's portion really marks the end of a whole series of failures from the Israelites in the wilderness. In fact, as Lewis himself described, the last failure, which was dramatically ended with me, apparently, throwing the spear into the perpetrator of the sin, and that was the end of that. But I want you to consider that where all these failures took place, they took place in the wilderness. It was in the desert. In fact, it was hot. And the reality is they were all suffering, quite frankly, with the summertime blues. I mean, think about this. From the time that they left the Red Sea all the way up into the Promised Land, there are 18 recorded events where the Israelites disobeyed the Lord, resulting in some form of judgment against them. 8 of those 18 related to a lack of water, food, or general hardship, which all has to do with the summertime blues, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues, right? That's the problem. You see, but God uses our circumstances and our experiences to expose our need for Him. That's why we have summertime blues. In fact, everything that we literally go by, if we're always comfy, if everything is just hunky-dory, then there's a tendency for us to stray from the Lord. And in fact, it appears when everything is going fine that we don't really even really need Him anymore. Maybe we'll still be following Him, we'll still believe in Him, and so forth, but there's no recognition of any kind of a desperate need for God when everything is just perfectly fine. But then the summertime blues occur, and they are literally applied with the heat in our lives, right? And the question is what will we do when the heat comes into our lives or the summertime blues? Now, interestingly, is the first place that Yeshua went following his immersion was where?
The desert.
He went into the desert, right? And in fact, right away, what does he experience? He's hot and there's no food right off the get-go. And so he suffers a temptation like the Israelites suffered in the wilderness, in which they, of course, complained about the summertime blues. And so the enemy tempts him into turning a rock into bread to resolve the summertime blues in his situation. It's like they were crying out for food in the wilderness, and like the enemy is tempting him in the wilderness as well. And so let's see what Yeshua's response is to this temptation in Matthew 4:4. It says this. It says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." You see, when push comes to shove, when we experience summertime blues in our own lives, we need God's answers first. That's what really happens. It's not, we don't do what seems expedient, but rather we should seek what the Lord has and how we would respond to the summertime blues. In fact, did you know that Moses actually tells the Israelites this in Deuteronomy after these events occurred in the wilderness? Let's see what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. He says this. He says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." Now, I want us to look at the relevant verbs that are in this particular paragraph here. First of all, it says that he led them into the wilderness. It was God who led them into the wilderness. And God also leads us into the wilderness sometimes as well. In fact, God leads us sometimes into having summertime blues. Well, why is that the case? Because the number two verb is to test. God used the experience of the summertime blues to test as to whether they are going to look to the Lord for an answer or take things into their own hands or look for somewhere else. And the goal is the third verb, which is to humble. It's to humble the people or humble themselves. There's an irony here because God promises an abundant life when we follow him, but to get there, we must first be humbled. Everybody say, ouch. Ouch. That's the reality, folks. God promises abundance, but to get to the abundance, we've got to first be humbled. God promised a land flowing with milk and honey to the Israelites, but they first had to go through the wilderness. Look, when I first came to faith, I had a lot of pride in my life. I mean, I really did. I mean, I was very intolerant of other people's weaknesses. I would, you know, people would be struggling with something in their life, and I would just say, you know, just trust the Lord, get over it. And, you know, it would be this attitude of, what's wrong with you? You know, I was able to handle things just fine, no problem. And then you know what happened? Wham! In comes the summertime blues for old Jamie here. In fact, what ends up happening to us is I got kicked out of the community of faith that I was in, that I was actually a leader in, and then ultimately we have nothing. We have no friends, nothing whatsoever. And this is when Stacy and I first got together. And then the early years when we were together, we really struggled as a couple for a whole variety of reasons. And then we were in and out of cult groups for 10 to 12 years. And when I look back on that time, it's humbling. It was humbling then, and it's even humbling now to think that I actually went through all this, but it's the reality. That's what had to happen. And this is what the scripture says in the book of Deuteronomy, following what he said, this is Deuteronomy 8:3. This is what the Lord says to Moses and the Israelites. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, I have to say that I learned a lot of lessons during those years. I mean, would I want to go back and suffer what I suffered during that time? Absolutely not. But it was very, very humbling, and it was transformational in my life. The irony again is this, is that the manna that was provided in the desert to the Israelites was a precursor to the abundance that the people of Israel would find in the promised land. Moses is really saying to the Israelites on the edge of coming into the promised land is, don't forget from whence you came. Don't forget that I've delivered you and transformed you and you've fallen short and so forth and you don't deserve any of this, but God in his grace is going to give you and provide for you and so forth, because it's easy to forget when everything is going hunky-dory. And for me, going through all those years of struggling and craziness, and I mean, I could tell you stories that we experienced in the cult groups that would make the head on your hair, you know, stand straight up. I mean, they were bizarre and nutsy, completely nutsy. But here's the benefit. I've entered into the promised land. And you know who the promised land is? It's you. You're the promised land. This community, which has really replaced my own family, because of the closeness that we have here, the community that has grown here, this is the promised land for me. And so I thank you for being who you are, but I couldn't have gotten to this without going through the former. There's no question about it. Summertime blues are used frequently in the scriptures as a teaching tool. And one of the great stories of the summertime blues is the story of Jonah. We all know the story that's always read at Yom Kippur. This prophet was told by God to go to the city far away called Nineveh, in which he was to preach judgment. And he didn't want to go. He ran from the Lord. And finally, the Lord kind of reins him in. He ends up in Nineveh. He's preaching judgment to the whole city. And then he goes up onto a hill, the scripture says, and he watches, waiting for the judgment of God to fall on the city. And the scripture says that he's under this burning heat. He's just like suffering with this heat. Summertime blues, right? And the Lord causes a plant to shade him, and he's really grateful. But then the scripture says the Lord brings along a worm and kills the plant, and the shade suddenly dissolves in it and so forth. And Jonah begins to sing, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues, right? Because poor Jonah, he's out there all by himself, and he's like suffering in the heat. But God is using this for a lesson. That's the whole point. And what's the lesson for Jonah? Jonah is mourning the loss of the plant, his own comfort, but he cares nothing about the thousands of Ninevites who are going to be brought under the judgment of the Lord, and God's mercy is what spared them because they turned and they repented. And so God was trying to teach Jonah something about his character and about the Lord's character as well. The summertime blues also are as a metaphor for seeking God. Let's look what it says in the prophet Isaiah. It says this in Isaiah 41, the poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them, and I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And continuing a few verses later, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. In other words, that these things have happened so that we might experience the fullness of God and to be transformational. Without it, without the summertime blues, many of us will never see the fullness of the Lord because we would just never cry out for God's help. Yeshua uses the metaphors frequently in beginning the summertime blues frequently, beginning on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. This is what he says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Note what Yeshua is doing here. He's using these terms that are very real in the summertime blues, that of hunger and thirst and loss. And he's turning it into seeking God. And when people seek the Lord, when they do, they'll be filled spiritually as well as physically. That's what happens when we turn back to the Lord. And then there's the classic story of summertime blues with Yeshua and the woman at the well. And so let's look at this story, picking up on John 4, verse 4. John 4, verse 4, this is what it says. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Yeshua, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour is noon. So it's noontime, and the scripture says that he's tired and he's thirsty, and it's summer. You say, well, how do you know it's summer? Because he says a few verses later, in speaking to his disciples, he says to them, in 4 months more, and then comes the harvest. Well, the harvest in Israel is in October. So backtracking 4 months, we're in June. So here we are in June. Yeshua is sitting by the well. He's tired, and he's hungry, and he's worn out, and we know that the problem is, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. Okay. But here's the key. He then says to a Samaritan woman that comes along to draw water. He tells her to draw water for him. Now the question you have to ask ourselves is, why is the woman drawing water in the middle of the day? In other words, people would draw water. They would draw water in the morning before it gets all hot. Well, we find out a little bit later that this woman lives in immorality. She's in a serious immorality and so forth, a little bit like what Lewis was talking about in his drash. But Yeshua has a different response to her, fortunately. And then the woman becomes shocked as she communicates with Yeshua over a number of reasons. Why is she shocked? Because Yeshua, as a man, is speaking to a woman, which is very unusual in those days. He is, as a Jew, is speaking to a Samaritan, which was, again, almost unknown in those days because Samaritans were second class in the Jewish world. And so it's shocking to her. And then Yeshua begins to speak to her and minister to her. And the reason is that he's revealing that God's heart for all of humanity. In other words, that God is not a respecter of persons, that everybody needs him. So here he is ministering to the Samaritan woman who is in immorality and so on, but rather than judging her, he's trying to touch her and trying to reach her in some way. And then he begins to connect the dots for her between the summertime blues and a need for God. And let's pick up in John 4, verse 10. This is what it says. Yeshua answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." But she's confused by the metaphor. She doesn't even know what he's talking about. She thinks he's talking about real water and so on. So then he continues in verse 13. He says this, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks this water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Do you know what? There really is a cure for the summertime blues, despite the song, right? There really is a cure for it. And what is the cure? The cure is the Lord. It's Yeshua who gives us living water during the times of summertime blues. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this later in the New Testament. He was talking about Moses, and when he struck the rock and water came out of the rock, he said that the rock was actually Yeshua because he was accompanying them, because he is the one who is the living water. He is the cure for the summertime blues. And no, I want us to note to this as I get ready to close. What it says about the end of times in describing the summertime blues at the end of times. Let's see what it says in Revelation 7. It says, "Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." You see, there's a place for the summertime blues, but there's also a cure. And the cure is Yeshua, who grants us the living water. And so God brings the summertime blues into our lives to cause us to turn, to cry out, to seek for something that's beyond where we are. And when we do, then all of a sudden we experience something. It takes us out. It lifts us up. It's not as if the circumstances even change immediately right away, but our hearts change. We experience God's fullness, and then that allows the circumstances to change around about us. There is a cure for the summertime blues, and it is Yeshua, the Messiah. Let's close in prayer. Amen. Wait a second. Oh, here we go. Sorry about that. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we just approach you right now, Lord. We know that this is a hot summer. This is extremely hot. Lord, but are you trying to get our attention other than simply telling us that there's global warming? But Lord, that there is also a spiritual lack, oh God. That Father, that you're putting the pressure on us, Lord God, to look beyond the natural means of trying to provide solutions for our struggles, but Lord, to look to you, to call on you, and to see that there is a cure for the summertime blues, oh God. Father, I just pray for anybody in this room, Lord, first, who's never made Yeshua Lord and Messiah. This is the moment and this is the time where you can get right with God, have your sins forgiven, have the summertime blues resolved, be granted eternal life, as Yeshua said right here, be in a right relationship with God, really starting a new life. I pray for you right now. All you have to do is ask Yeshua into your heart. Let him be Lord. Say, "Lord Yeshua, I ask you to become Lord and Messiah of my life. And I thank you for forgiving me of my sins, Lord. I thank you. I don't understand everything, but I want this. I want my life to change and to experience your fullness in my life, and I want to begin it right now. And I receive you into my life, oh Lord." And Lord, I pray for those of us who know you here, Lord, Father, who have been struggling with the summertime blues, Lord, that you would cut through, Lord, cut through the hardness in our own hearts and pry these things out so that we would touch base with you and we would experience your fullness. We just receive what you have for us right now, Lord. Lift us up, Lord God. Help us to walk on the rock that's higher than the waters around about us, oh Lord. And Father, we honor you today for what you're doing in our lives. We know there's a cure for the summertime blues. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.